Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. It's the Mike O'Mara Show. And now, the best of O'Mara. Here's Rob.
Thank you, Dude Sickle. Is it okay if I call him Dude Sickle? I think it probably is. Tis I, Rob Spiewak, your charming host and the curator of the best of for today, Thursday, April 4th, 2024. We've got some really good stuff to listen to. We're going to really kind of focus on the northeastern portion of the United States today, and you will see why as you stick around. We start off with Bob Marley. Now, I'm not talking about the Jamaican singer. No, I'm talking about comedian Bob Marley. He's a guy from Maine, and as you know, Mike spends a lot of time in Maine, so they see eye to eye on a lot of Maine issues, and he is so genuinely and naturally funny. I really, really love talking to him. So we start off Botmas with Bob Marley. He's a wicked pissa. I can't even try to do a Maine accent when what you're about to hear is so great. So Bob Marley on the best of the Mike O'Mara Show.
Do we have Mr. Marley?
We do, indeed.
We absolutely do.
Let's welcome a gentleman that kindly agreed to join us for the beginning of the show today. A very funny man. I love saying that because I feel like a real talk show host. A very funny man. Mr. Bob Marley. Bob!
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, Bob. We're doing great, Bob Marley.
I am held up in a bunker up here in Maine, and I'm waiting for Armageddon, the windstorm, of which nothing is happening right now.
Oh, so you're not getting anything. Are you now? You were born in Portland, Maine. Are you in southern Maine, or are you in any other part of that massive state?
Yeah, I was actually born in Bangor, but I'm in Portland now. But, so we're not, we haven't got slammed with it yet, but they're full force up here. You know, we had that huge windstorm in October, which was, that one came out of nowhere, and we all took it for granted. My wife and I were watching the local news guy, and he's like, "We got gale force winds coming out of there." And my wife goes, "Put it back on Shark Tank, Bob. This is going to be nice."
Shark Tank. Put it on Shark Tank, Bob. There we are.
3 o'clock in the morning, a birch tree comes through the living room. I'm like, "Huh, it seems to be developing for something that's nothing." So I'm down there in my underwears and a pair of flip-flops and a chainsaw cutting the tree up. She's yelling at me, "What, Bob. I go, "What, babe?" She goes, "You need to put some clothes on." I'm like, "You're worried about my outfit? There's a tree in the living room right now. Probably a little more pressing."
You're a true Mainer, you know, out there with a chainsaw in your boxers. Now listen, Bob, I gotta talk. I want to do some Maine talk because I split my time in southern Florida, and then I'm up in Hancock.
That's 40... what your producer told me. Up in Hancock County, dude. Right. Those guys are like, you don't even know what they're saying.
You know what? All right. We're going to do...
Your license plate, O'Meara, coming up from someplace else here, in fancy Virginia, whatever. I don't know what you're thinking, but what don't matter?
Here's the deal. All right. Let me give you the background. Here's the thing, Bob Marley. You know Maine. You were born in Maine. Maine's a big part of what you talk about. This is my observation, all right? Growing up and having summers up there in Hancock County, Hancock Point specifically. Now I live in Hancock. And growing up there, it was always fascinating. It was kind of quaint. It was kind of cute. There were men that my father would have conversations with where I literally would not understand what the man was saying. There was a guy, Tommy Andrews, that ran a boat yacht. And he would have a conversation, and he had this kind of slow witted sidekick Toot that it was Tommy and Toot. And so he'd be talking to my father, and our yacht was a 17-foot Boston Whaler. So that's what I grew up on. And he would, I will give you what it sounded like. Tommy would come down and talk to my dad and say, "Well, Jesus Christ, Bill, I don't want to hear something. Toot, God damn it, go over there, that thing like that." And I would be sitting there just with my mouth agape. My father would be having a regular conversation with him. And it was quaint. Let me tell you, Bob, my impression now, the locals up in Hancock County. Maine has gotten really pissed off, Bob. It's a pissed off state right now. And I want your take on it because you live there, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, well, listen, when you have a total amount of maybe 3 weeks of sunshine during the year, there's not a lot to look forward to.
I know.
You know, like we just had minus 24 degrees, like every morning we woke up for like 3 weeks in a row. Like,
I know.
You wonder why people are disgruntled. Like, it shouldn't hurt to go outside as a person. you shouldn't go outside and just be like, "Oh, I'm not going to make it to the car. I'm not. This is not going to happen." Like the only thing people do in Maine is plot their dismount. Like when you get older, everyone's like, "Well, we'll get out of here at some point." When they're being paroled from prison. At some point, Joyce and I have got something set up. I guess her sister's got a double wide in Ocala.
They want to leave.
When I'm 74 and have limited mobility and no desire to live, that's probably when we'll make our move.
Look, you think he's doing stick folks? He's talking about the weather. It is. It is weather related. I swear to God.
Oh my
I know
God. And
people
you bring
up there.
these guys in Maine. It's funny because they always do seem to have. They always come in packs.
Right.
There's always like the smartest guy of the group that does the speaking, and then there's always a guy like Toot, the other guy you mentioned.
Yeah. The sidekick. Yeah.
Yeah, like he'll say, "Well, I guess we could bring it around the other side." And he goes, "Yeah, don't just shut up, Kyle. I'll take care of it." You know, it's always a collection of guys you feel like, you know, they would either save a puppy or build a still in the yard. Like, you don't know.
And you can't tell. You can't identify them.
Yeah, like they're wicked nice, but there's also an undertone of like, yeah, something's going on there. I don't know.
Yeah, you just there's that undercurrent of a little bit of hostility. And, you know, I'll tell you something, though, and this is the way I roll up there. I enjoy my family. Don't get me wrong. I enjoy the summer folk. But I enjoy and always have, maybe the way I was raised, I enjoy the people that live up there year-round more because they get the whole summer thing. And that you just can't have a summer community anywhere without that level of elitism that people have where people are just hanging out up there and it's just like, oh, Biff, where are we going to bring the picnic on Saturday? And, you know, everybody else is like, oh, God damn it. They're just so full of crap. I can't even believe it, you know, and I'm mowing their goddamn lawn. I mean, it's just, it's the role. It's the way they roll up there. It's
you know, Maine people are kind of like the people from England, you know, where they're smiling, like going, oh, wonderful to see you, isn't it? And they have that tone of, you know, it's really not.
You know,
they're always called hardy. Maine people are always called hardy. Oh, they're hardy Mainers, which is basically means miserable. You know,
right.
You'll hear people in Maine. They'll say something like this. They'll say, "Oh, it's not that bad up here. As long as you can, you know, if you can get through December, January, February, March, April, half of May. You know what I mean? Half the year is horrible, really. Half my life now that I think of it's been horrible.
You know, I look at families, you know, and you see maybe in a movie. I don't see it in real life. I see these families where there'll be greetings with hugs and kisses, and family members will say, "I'm so glad to see you." And it's like, "How have you been? Hello." That is the polar opposite with my family. There is my
chilliness.
My Maine relatives, when I will see them, I in many cases, it's been multi-years where 6 years will pass, and I'll see like a cousin, and you know I'm telling the truth here. I'll see a cousin of mine, and he'll say, "Hello, Michael." And that's it. Well, thanks. I'm so glad I haven't seen you in 6 years.
And he's almost staring at you like he's sniffing you out, like you might be a part of some kind of Russian dossier of some sort.
Not a whole bunch of warmth.
How are you, Michael? How are you?
That's it. That's
the eyeball. You never know where they're coming from. It's a very It's definitely an interesting place to live, you know?
It is. You've been at it a long time. You got to love it if you've been doing it as long as you've been doing it, Bob Marley.
I love it, and I love to come to D.C. because it's. I tell the audience all the time, it's a very well-organized city. It's all the streets are numbered and lettered. So you know, if you like to drink, you can go out and drink, and then you find your hotel room. It's like a game of Battleship every night, you know? L-47, I found it.
You've been traveling around. Is there any part of the country, and I know, you know, I've seen lots of your stand-up, so, I mean, it's not just Maine, but you identify yourself as a Mainer, and you do a lot of that. Is there any region, because I'm always curious about this, outside of New England where your stuff, where people track with it, are there any, because you think in terms of... I guess the Washington, D.C. area is a very transient area. And then you talk about that, let's say, the east coast of Florida, which is populated by a lot of New Yorkers and people down there. Are there regions of the country where you find more of a New England influence
you'll get displaced New Englanders everywhere, you know, and then the places that they don't like, if I go to Florida, I just give them a hard time. I'm like, you people have no idea what like real life is like. Like
they don't
like you know, I tell everybody, I'm like, because I'm 50 now, but I tell people on stage, I go, I'm only 18 years old. Look at me. This is what it does. living in New England. I mean, I went to Arizona and I was in Tempe, Arizona. I went to the mall at noon and it was packed. Does anybody work out here? Who is he? What's going on? And everybody, I said, all the nails are done. And in New England, like people walk around with like three cracked yellow toenails that barely made it through January. You know, I try to explain to them like what it's like to live up here. Like, I have a plow on my truck because I'm just splurging cash. I have a plow on my truck because it's necessary.
Right.
We had 16 inches like a week and a half ago. My mother calls me word for word on the phone. She calls me. She goes, are you going to plow me tomorrow? And I go, well, I'll remove the snow from your yard, maybe. But maybe we should change the phrasing on that. No, Bobby, I really need to be plowed. I might have to be plowed twice, once tonight and once in the morning.
Come on over,
if
Bobby.
If you can't plow me, could you send one of your friends over to plow me, maybe?
It's been rough.
I call my mother the Irish Catholic Guilt Distribution Center.
Oh, my God. Oh, no.
In the last 10 months, she's broken both of her hips and her back.
Wow.
And yeah, she's back on. She's Irish, though. She's tough. She's back. She's on the walker. She's got the walker going. So we go to pick her up for supper. We're taking her over to Governor's Restaurant.
Governor's. Oh, my God. I love Governor's. I talk about Governor's all the time. It's a good value, isn't it, Bob?
Yeah. Oh, it's wicked sharp. So I pull into the yard. She comes out with her walker, and she's got her walker, and she's like, she sees us in the truck. I roll the window down. I said, Mom, I'm coming out to help you. I don't need you. I didn't need you yesterday, Bobby. I don't need you tomorrow, and I don't need you right now. So we're fighting in the driveway, and it's like literally 18 minutes for her to get to the car, and my 10-year-old's in the back seat. He's like, Dad, can we just leave her in the driveway? I'm starving to death. This is horrible.
I have asked you, how young is your beautiful mom?
She's 77, and she grew up here. She loves Maine. She's from Maine. And, you know, she's on the walker now with the tennis balls on the bottom.
Nice. Nice touch.
I don't know who's in charge of that, by the way. Like, why can't we get – we can't put anybody on that for a couple – Elon Musk just shot three rockets into space 400,000 miles. Two of them came back down and landed on the same spot. Like, he can't take 15 minutes and solve the tennis ball walker dilemma.
Some sort of technology to go under the walker that might be a little
bit better. She called me last week. She goes, "Kid, if you're out, could you stop at Walmart and get me four cans of tennis balls?" I'm like, "Sure enough, Billie Jean, you're playing doubles over there. What's going on?" And my sister picks. That's the other thing about Maine, Mike. You know this.
Yep.
People just kind of hang out or live, you know, living situations, it doesn't, people just get by.
Right.
Like, my sister lives with my mother, and she's 51 years old. So that'll give you the full scope of choices that my sister made in her life.
I gotta lay this on you with Governors, because Governors, for those of you around the country who don't know, it's a chain restaurant up in Maine. It is it is where the locals go, and if you spend enough time up there, it's where you know even visitors can go there.
Right.
The thing I noticed about Governors, Bob, and I don't know whether you're aware of this, you know, it is a health food restaurant when you go into the men's room and you have a special distribution center for used diabetic needles.
Also, they have, when you walk in, they've got showcases full of pies.
Pies.
A showcase.
Yes.
Spinning
every
slowly. Like in the dimly lit wheel of death. I was in there with my mother, and there was another couple, old Maine couple, and one guy looks at it, he goes, "Geez, look at that, mother. The pies are spinning around." She goes,
In the separate case.
Yeah.
In the separate case you have there.
And that's the other thing. Like, guys in Maine that are married, they call their wives mother, which is weird. Well, I don't know, mother. I'm like, that's not right.
That's not right at all. And don't you think Maine people, because of the harshness, you know, you talked about the 50 thing. It's kind of like dog years. It's kind of, you know, 45 years old in Maine is a little different than 45 years old in the rest of the country.
Absolutely. And we have relatives that leave Maine. They're called snowbirds. We have other words for them.
You're a little jealous of those folks a little bit?
My Aunt Teresa and my Uncle Dougie, they come to Thanksgiving every year, and they sit there, and all they talk about is when they're leaving to go to Florida. First of all, my Aunt Teresa will sit down, "Awful cold in here, Bobby. Do you have the heat on?" And I'm like, "No, we don't crank it up till Martin Luther King Day, babe." "Oh, I'll be so glad when Monday comes and we can head to Florida." I'm like, "Well, you can head out now. There ain't nobody locking that Samsonite, babe."
the resentment of the snowbirds.
Then they'll actually say this. They go, "I don't know how you people stay here year-round." "Well, let me enlighten you, Teresa. We don't have enough money to buy another house in Florida, so we're kind of stuck here. But thanks for rubbing it in, Sea-Hag."
Sea-Hag!
Wow!
But my uncle then said, he goes, "Bob, I was reading the Harvidian Time Journal for Journally Time Harvidians. It said that Maine had the highest prevalency of alcoholism. Now, why is that?" I said, "Well, why don't you stay for the winter and you'll figure it out."
Yeah, they also enjoy, I've found over the years, there's another substance that kind of people enjoy in those long, long, cold winters. And I discovered it when the lady down the street, Bob, she sells us that crab meat during the summer. And, well, we went around the back where they said crab meat for sale, and there are probably about 70 to 80 marijuana plants right in the backyard. And then one of my buddies said, "Well," I said, "well, they sell that too." He said, "No, that's for their own use during the winter. That's when they do that. That's it."
Yeah, that's a lubricator. That's all. Oh, my sister gets after it. I mean, she lives with my mother. She doesn't mind a few starters in the morning. She starts them up, and then I go over to visit them. And this is, my sister always says to me, "Bobby, do you have any idea at all why I live with Ma? Do you have any idea at all? Because I keep an eye on Ma. Do you understand? While you're out every night doing your fat jokes, hanging out with Lionel Richie or whoever, I'm keeping an eye on Ma." I'm like, "Well, you are doing a heck of a job. She has broken every bone in her body. She's on the walker over here. Keeping an eye on her? What are you, watching her roll down the stairs?" Like Evel Knievel.
Bob, always a pleasure. Please come when you get to town the next time. Please come on the show. Stop in the panel with us. We'd love to have you on.
Thank you guys so much for having me on this morning. And Mike, be wicked, and we'll catch up with you sooner than later, Bob.
Wicked good, Bob. Thank you, Bob Malley.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Bot Moss, the best of the Mike O'Mara Show. This actually originally aired during a bonus show. So if you're not a bonus subscriber, well, first off, shame on you. But you've never heard it before. This is a story that has been referred to and told briefly in the past, but this is the full version. And as I said, in the northeastern part of the United States, Mike grew up in Connecticut, and that's where this story takes place. So enjoy it. It involves ice skates and his sister Kathy, but we call it simply the Poop Parable on the best of the Mike O'Mara Show.
To start the bonus show, it has been requested that I tell the parable, the fable of the pond hockey incident.
I think it's more of a parable because it teaches a lesson, does it not?
To what, to hate your sister?
Well, there's that. How about this? We've never done this. After we tell the parable, let's all say what we learned from it.
Okay, well, then we'd be Opie and Anthony. No, but that would be at the end of the show.
No, this is within the show.
Yeah, within the show.
Okay. I believe I am 9 or 10 years old.
Yes.
And back in the day, back when, before global warming took hold around the world, there were very, very cold winters in Connecticut. And the ponds every single year would freeze over. And we would love, love, love. There's nothing we enjoyed more than skating on the ponds each and every day. Yes, with our hands behind our back and tassels in our hair.
And the organ is the hardest part was getting the organ out to the pond.
And I would go out in the morning at like 9 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the morning. I would skate until sundown. I would skate all day, and I would maybe come in for lunch. And by the way, in my day, in my neighborhood, and I know a lot of people that will relate to this, parents called their children to lunch and supper. That's
yes.
The way we say, Mike, come this way. That was what we did in our neighborhood. They just lean out the window and bellow. There was no worry of the child being abducted or any of this. It would just be, they just lean out the window and call you, and you would be called for dinner.
When you talk about the pond, was it an actual geographical pond, or was it the kind of thing where you would leave the hose on and flood the backyard and
no.
It would freeze?
Next door to my house was a brook, a stream that ran. And by the way, there's a song called The Hills of My Connecticut. Connecticut is filled with hills. And so there were lots of rolling hills,
yes,
and ponds and streams. And in my particular neighborhood, you had one big pond up the hill, Wood Pond, it was called,
okay,
on Wood Pond Road. And then that would feed the brook down into a tiny little pond in back of the Kelly's house that
right.
was really small. This tells me how old I was. I had to be like 8 or 9. I was a little guy.
Mm-hmm.
And it would feed the pond in back of the Kelly's house. And then that would go over a little dam that they had. And
language.
That would go into a brook that would feed the last pond that was down right behind our house.
Uh-huh.
So there were technically within less than a half a mile, there were 3 ponds that you could skate on. But the one that we were skating on that day was right behind Kelly's. It was the closest to my house. I could walk down the hill and get on the ice, and I could skate all day long. And it was not as big a pond as the other one, so it was just a couple of us that had a makeshift goal set up, and we were slapping the puck around. And I could do it for hours. It was by the way, it was why many people in my neighborhood were
up to the sky.
What the f*** are you playing?
It's The Hills of My Connecticut.
You found it?
Yes.
I've never heard it. Turn it up.
We have to take it from the beginning. Here we go, from the top.
There's a place that's nearest to heaven.
Turn it up.
You got to send it to him.
The hills roll up to the sky.
The Hills of My Connecticut.
And the land is peaceful and lovely.
Hills of My Connecticut, where I was born.
It's where I want to live and die.
Not really.
Mike, this version is by the Yankee Nutmeggers.
Oh, the Yankee Nutmeggers. Horny group.
Oh,
really super horny group.
Absolutely.
Banging everybody.
I love the hills of my Connecticut.
Let me get close to that song for a second. There we go. I put it on there. Here we go. And
oh,
it's been destroyed.
Shall I send it to you anyway?
Over.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I will. Hills of My Connecticut.
The point is that's what we did during the winter. And on this particular day, I had had lunch, and then I had had kind of an early supper because my parents were going somewhere, and my sister, who is 7 years older than I am, was babysitting me. And my sister would have been 15, 16 at the time.
Okay.
You know, and I, because I'm, it, I, you know, she's a 7 year age difference, and that makes me what? When she's 15,
well,
or 16.
Nine or 10.
Yeah.
9 or 10.
Right.
So she's babysitting me, and I have a lunch, I think, right before my parents, or a late lunch, and I went back down to skate. And I'm skating and having so much fun, and it's so cold, and I'm all bundled up, but it doesn't matter because I got my hockey gloves on, and I got my hockey skates on, and I'm really, really excited. And I think my hockey skates were my dad's used skates that I used for years and years and years. And it was just, and if you'd seen these skates, it looks like something out of, you know, Hans Brinker. It was really, really.
I think that's really commonplace old. When you're a kid. You just use what your older brother had or what your pops had.
And you probably
you had,
were, and you're probably wearing like 8 pairs of socks, so they
fit.
Oh,
we got 8 pairs of socks. And and it's just, but it's fun, fun. So much fun that I forgot that nature was brewing in my large intestine. Yeah. I didn't realize that as the hours rolled away, that suddenly it just hit me like a ton of bricks.
Especially after a wintertime lunch.
It was Saturday, so it was probably like chili or spaghetti sauce or something like that.
And, oh, no. Know, that's a
colon,
detail we've never gotten.
Explosives.
We've
you
never
know.
Gotten that before.
By the way, if you ever have the vegan chickpea tuna salad, the artificial, that is, I call nature's explosive. If you ever want to really get your system started,
you could use that.
Very,
to
very
just
innocent.
Blow up the hills of my Connecticut.
Yeah, it'll rip you up. It might. I'm surprised it doesn't blow a hole in your stomach. That's how powerful. But anyway, I digress.
Yes,
the pond was cold. We were cold, and suddenly, immediately, with no waiting, with no hesitation, I felt what I like to refer to as the pain.
Oh, yes.
And the pain was instantaneous. And I said, I better get up the hill. Jack Spratt.
Yeah.
I better get up that hill. And I go up the hill and I leave my skates on. There's no time to even deal with the skates.
Because there's a lot of lacing involved, right?
Right. There's a lot of lacing and I don't want to take the time. And we have a runner on what are ye old New England hardwood floors. These were not hardwood floors because people wanted fancy hardwood floors. These were hardwood floors because they were the floors that the pilgrims used.
That's what they built. That's you made
we
floors
had
out
wooden
of wood.
Floors. Yeah. All the houses in Connecticut, in my town.
How do you know the pilgrims
floors.
Built them first? How do you know that?
He found a shoe with
old.
A buckle on it.
My house was built like 1958.
In the walls.
Yeah.
So I get up there and for whatever reason, God knows what she was up to, but the side door to my little cape that I lived in was locked, and I banged on the door because I wanted to get it. Kathy, my sister, comes to the door, and I said, Kathy, let me in, please. I've got to use the bathroom. And she says, not with those skates on. I said, you don't understand. I'll walk over the carpet. I'll be gentle, please. Not with the skates on. I said, I have an emergency. I have it. Not with the skates on. And I said, so I'm pleading with her. And this argument, I realize.
And every moment that passes.
Yeah. If I had just perhaps sat down on the bench on the little walkway from the garage into our house. And am I painting that New England picture of
you are,
a tiny little walkway?
Although I will jump to your defense, because if you are that far into what we call in my household the urgency, sometimes shifting to a sitting position might actually accelerate the process.
Well, it's funny you bring that up, because finally I realize she's not going to yield. I said, but it's cold out. She said, you can come in and sit on the chair right over here. And she points right inside. I would walk through the dining room,
right,
then through the kitchen, and there's the bathroom. We had one on the main floor, one on the upstairs. We have one in the basement. We have one bathroom in the basement that was very, very cold. But later in life, that's where I went for private time. And I don't mean bad private time. I mean, that's where if you really had to drop a deuce, that's where you would go, not to infringe on anybody else's
I understand.
Sinus cavity.
As a courtesy.
So she's standing there like a goddamn prison guard standing over me, and I sit down on one of my parents' ye olde colonial chairs. These chairs that if you and I sat on them right now, Rob, they'd collapse. And I begin
dozens
to,
and dozens of thin, spindly like dowel rods that hold them together. I know the style you mean.
That's it. They all had them. Every single
of course
a spinning wheel in the corner and like a
Michael. These are early American and they're classic and they'll never go out of style.
Like a straw witch in the corner with corn cob. And so I'm sitting in this. I'm sitting in the chair and I start to unlace my first boot.
Yes.
And as I get two strands done and I feel.
Oh.
And unfortunately, at that point, there was there's nothing I could do. I you'd made me late already. It was very frustrating.
Oh, no.
And I mean, it's there. And I'm. Listen, 9 years old is old enough to where, you know, you're not, it's not like a little baby anymore. You've made big potty mess.
Yes, and, you have.
And I had snow pants on with I think jeans and long underwear underneath them. This was like Chipotle from hell. All right. This was not, there were more layers to this.
God. It
was.
Oh, the unwrapping had to be hideous.
It was horrible.
Yes.
It was a horrible.
How did your sister respond?
Oh, no, you didn't. And I'm like, you made me. And
you showed her.
Yeah, you did.
I will give her credit that when I shit in my pants in my parents' dining room, I think she assisted me. I think she assisted me.
In what way?
Like helping me get out of these nasty soiled.
Well, she became a sibling, a sister at that point.
She became an older, caring sister after she tortured me into evacuating my bowels in the colonial dining room.
May I offer a counterpoint on that? Because, you know, everyone has a different take on this story. When you actually soiled yourself, I believe she's a very bright lady. We know this.
Yes.
Started thinking three or four steps ahead.
Right.
And also started to think, how is a 9-year-old going to clean himself up? And mom and dad are going to come home and say, what happened to Michael?
Well,
and so unless it's taken care of, she was in charge. She's covering her ass.
My memory of it is this, and it's, you know, it's a many, many moons ago.
Yeah.
It's like 50 years ago. But the fact is, I said it again. I remembered being very skillful in the cleanup process because there's nothing that horrified me more at that particular time. I didn't want any
slippage
at all whatsoever. And I remember delicately balancing everything and being able to get it off without any further mess, but then hand the outside package, which may have gone to the trash or may have gone to the laundry, to my sister. And because I still had 1.5 skates, you know, one skate's half unlaced and the other skate laced, she took the skates off because I couldn't have gotten the pants off.
Yeah, it's true. And unless you use scissors.
You know what? Hold on. That's what she did. She helped me take my skates off, and then she told me to bring the mess down to the basement where the washer and dryer were, and that's where I brought my stuff. And I don't remember what
so
I did.
You were naked from the waist down when you brought the stuff down?
Donald Duck style.
I don't remember.
No pants.
Yeah, exactly. Sailor's hat.
I'll say this. You have to burn those clothes, in my opinion. There's nothing coming back from that.
Especially,
we didn't have a lot of money, Oscar.
And you know what? That's
we didn't. And there's nothing that Tide can't take care of.
Well, I was thinking, you know what? This was a half century ago. I'm thinking you went probably straight to the bleach.
I don't remember what the process was, but I know it was taken care of. And
Clorox.
Then I complained, and I remember that here was the triumph for me. The triumph for me was when my mom said to Kathy, you should have just let him go. You should have just let him go. Because I think my mom...
Like, let you
I
in?
I think it might have been my mom, the laundry was down there, and my mom might have,
she
might
discovered
have encountered it.
Yeah.
Well, no, she went down there, let me see what's going on. Yeah. Oh, Kathy, Michael, you should have just let him go. I said, see?
And they're home from that's the last thing they want, coming home all lubed up from a cocktail party.
Right.
And they come into those pants.
Yeah. But since that day, and this is important to point out, since that day, I've never been able to move my bowels successfully.
Beep, boop, 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 boop. Yes, we're back. You keyed us in on your magical keyboard. The best of the Mike O'Mara show. Again, another segment that relates to the northeastern part of the United States. Here we talk about Maine and birds and cats. And it's all good, as the kids say. Yes, it's all good on the best of the Mike O'Mara show.
Yes, earlier today, moments before airtime. Moments before airtime, I was informed by my wife, oh my God, there's a bird in the house.
Oh my God.
Mrs. O'Mara was walking our Boston Terrier Winslow.
Yes.
And a stupid chickadee came flying in, and in the little sun porch area of the house, we have lots of windows.
Yes.
And of course, the chickadee is not able to fly back out the door.
Everybody's heard about the bird.
So loud. Jesus.
Sorry.
It was sad. Because there's a giant, I don't know what they call the windows that are like crescent shaped.
Oh, bay window?
It's not a bay window as much as it's
a crescent-shaped window.
It's a cathedral window.
It's a window above another window, sort of.
Yes, window above another window. It's a big one. It's a big one,
and it's a great one.
And the bird.
Guess who got a bird in their house?
And it's a great one. Guess who went bird shopping today? We're doing a Lost in America thing. If you don't know the movie, you're not going to get it. Yeah, $2. For a chickadee, a great one. So anyway, you lost the chickadee egg. So here it is.
I'm speaking very conservatively here. $2 for a chickadee.
I'm trying to get my brother-in-law to watch Lost in America, the old movie that still holds up, where they drop out of society and then she loses all their money. It's very funny. So as soon as Carla says that to me, I'm upstairs in the loft. And the upgrade, which always manages to stay a cool, comfortable 89 degrees, no matter what the weather is outside.
Yeah, isn't it like Luray Caverns? It's just always one temperature.
It's the same temperature, and now consistently smells like a Winslow fart all the time. happy going crazy, cabin fever, hey baby. So she says this to me. I immediately go into the bathroom and grab a towel, because my method of securing a bird is to throw a towel on it. And this bird's having none of it.
Of course not.
We have a cheap little recliner cloth chair where this room is. We've jammed a TV in there in our little tiny house, and it rocks back and forth. I'm not skilled to get there. I said, can you get on that chair and throw the towel on the bird? So Carla is trying to place the towel. Yeah. I said, no. You're not going to be able to place.
You won't catch it.
The bird's not going to go, here, put that over my head so I can't see.
How big of a towel is it? Is it like a bath towel?
It's a bath towel.
Okay, so pretty big.
I said, do it. So Carla attempts. I said, no, Carla, you have to toss it. And as she tries to toss it, she loses her balance. And my wife, who is extremely physically fit, is going down. She is going down, and she's coming right towards me. And then, of course, whose fault is it? It's me, because I was being impatient. I said, I wasn't being impatient. I was trying to get you the bird. So we just leave the door open for the bird to escape. And I come up and start doing the show. Halfway through the show, she informs me the bird, you know, the idiot bird, decided that it would stop banging its little bird brain up against the window and fly out the door. It literally was going. It was horrible.
Yeah, I hate it.
Because I'm sitting there and I'm watching this, and the bird's going. The bird's going. I'm panicking. I flew into a door, and I just was enjoying my freedom in Maine. Oh my God! It's not bad enough I have to worry about eagles and ospreys and all these things, but I just was looking for seed. I was looking for seeds, but I can't. This man's throwing this. I can't get out. Oh my God!
And it finally flew out the door.
Mike, you have two dogs. How are they handling the fact that there's a bird in your house?
We removed them from their room. That's their room. Another room that smells great. That's where the dogs hang out. All day long for 24 hours a day. The dogs go. Two tiny little dogs that sound like this. All day long doing this. And then the bird flew out, so it's a success. I think the bird might be brain damaged, but it doesn't matter because there's not that much brain anyway.
You're right.
What about the cat?
The cat has been named. We have decided on a name for the cat. Thank you for your submissions. The leader was Buzz. I wasn't going to name the cat Buzz, but thank you for that. And Mike Elston and RJ Diaz. For some reason, the cat was named.
And, this is my cat, and his favorite flavor of ice cream is vanilla.
Vanilla cat. This cat, I really love to name things, as you know. I love nicknames. I love giving people nicknames. I racked my brain. I did the old thing I did with Winslow. I looked up famous Mainers, people from the state of Maine. Oh, man. That's a very, very unrewarding task. There aren't a lot of people up here.
Unrewarding.
I'm serious.
Well, boy or girl, we never found
it's
out.
It's a boy. Yeah. It's okay, a boy. Okay, a lot of people didn't know that. So there were a lot of female names, too. All right.
Tina would have been nice.
What's
well,
that?
Tina? Well, you could go Tino.
Oh, you could have called. Oh, you can still can. Yo-ho.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
This is my all cat, right. Timber.
Boy.
He's a lumberjack.
Timber would be great.
Timber is a good cat name.
Yeah, Timber.
Because when you call Timber!
Timber!
There are so few people that are famous from Maine. You know? I mean, these are names
it's
I don't
really
even know.
It's really a lame state. I've always
you know what you say?
No.
You ask for famous Mainers, you get a lot of pictures of Patrick Dempsey.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll take it. McDreamy, he's A-lister.
McDreamy.
This is my cat, Dempsey.
Yeah. I got Patrick Dempsey and Anna Kendrick.
Both great.
Anna Kendrick, A-lister.
But we're talking about two people.
Really, I mean, scientifically, 1/50th of all celebrities should come
King
from
was
Maine.
Stephen King was from Maine.
Yeah, well, the famous author is he's a known Mainer, which is great. But, I mean, everybody should have an author. The three that I really discerned, most famous entertainment people from Maine.
Showbiz.
Patrick Dempsey. Anna Kendrick, and Judd Nelson.
Judd Nelson.
You have to admit he had
a great year in 1986. Yeah. He really did.
Maybe I should know more about it. And I'm sorry for being so ignorant. The idea that Maine is a beautiful state.
It's gorgeous.
It's a gorgeous place to
spectacular
live.
Spectacular up here. Wonderful.
Yes, love it. The problem I have is why. Why is the population fleeing Maine, and why do they have a bill in place where if you go to Maine, they'll give you, what is it, $10,000 in tax incentives
they've
just to move
They've lost their industry. They've lost industry up here. Jobs up here. What's that?
What was the industry?
Well, you had paper mills.
Pine.
You had paper mills and you know, sawmills. That type of thing was a big deal in Maine. But I mean, it's
L.L. Bean.
Tourism can't sustain L.L. Bean. A wonderful company up here. I'm trying to think of. It might be Vic Firth, the drumstick maker that was
Ooh.
Up here. They may still be. They make
Mike,
drumsticks
you missed
up here.
two Maine celebrities that I'm surprised did not pop up on your search that are both red hot today. Linda Lavin.
Yeah.
And John O'Hurley.
Yeah, John O'Hurley. That when I saw John O'Hurley, you know, hello, Elaine. Hello, I'm John O'Hurley. Welcome to the dog show. That's what he does now. It's really.
Mike, you're right, though. It brought up 10 celebrities, and I went down to like click for more. And the only option it gives me is show less.
Yeah.
So there's nobody.
I was stunned.
Yeah, nobody.
That few people. It's basically the population, I think it is, as far as the arts and literature. You got your Stephen King.
Yeah.
You got Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. I want to see about my Longfellow. Andrew Wyeth, the painter, E.B. White. You know, there's some famous people. But really, by and large. So here it is, ladies and gentlemen. I have the name of the cat.
Yes.
And I hope you enjoy.
You named it. Does the family approve it?
Carl and I did, basically. That's what we did.
Okay, and Michael is okay with it?
I am not proud of this, this name, but the name of our baby cat that we visited with a little bit yesterday.
Yes.
Would be Earl.
Oh, God.
Earl. Earl the cat.
No, Earl Grey T. Because the cat is completely gray.
Gray.
So it's
does everything
it's
have to
Earl,
be about food for you? Like, come
Earl,
on.
It's not food. It's tea. Earl Grey O'Mara.
Hey,
Oscar, it's not food. It's tea.
I hate it too.
You're not going to register anything. You didn't register
it. I came up with it. It said Earl Grey.
No, go with Timber.
And yeah, I didn't want to go with Smokey because we had a family cat named Smokey who was also gray.
Hey,
and
man.
Gray synonyms are hard to find.
You need to clean out my litter box.
Here it is, man. Yeah, so right now it's Earl. All right, it's subject to change. Please. We don't take delivery on the cat until like 4 weeks
Earl,
anyway.
Earl.
Because this cat is still on the teat.
How about Cameron? Cameron Gray.
There you go.
Cameron
the cat.
Yes.
Cameron the cat's pretty good. That's
yeah,
pretty good.
Yeah, that's
Rob.
Really good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cameron Gray.
Yeah.
But it's
yeah.
also, you know, it's during that period of time where
I understand.
Yeah, but no one else needs to know that. But Cameron.
It's John Pop and Liddy and all that crap. So I.
John Pop's labor saving cart.
And I'm not going to name him after somebody that went to work at the NRA. Anyway, can't happen. Sorry. Just can't let that happen. All right. They look, your career takes you where it takes you. I'm not going to blame those guys.
Okay. I wonder who are other famous people named Gray? We have Earl. Earl Grey, of
Jennifer
course.
Jennifer Grey.
Jennifer Grey, but that's a yep. Jennifer is technically a girl's name.
Oh, you could do this, Mike. You can make a name that's for a girl, work for a guy.
How about Jennifer? Zane Grey? Zane Grey.
Zane is a great
Zane,
name.
Yeah.
Zane the
Zane.
Cat. Yeah.
Zane Grey.
Grey Gardens.
Zane might be there. All right. Yeah. See, I've already made more progress with you guys than I did in the car driving back from Ellsworth the other day.
That's right.
We're gonna take a break.
Hello, it is me, your old buddy Rob, and we talked hockey a little bit during the poop parable previously on this program, but here's another hockey story, or a hockey segment, I should say, talking about concussion protocol in the NHL and how it is sort of related to other major league sports. The reason this comes up is this is long enough ago that I think Michael, my godson, was about 4 years old, and he was starting like Mighty Mites hockey, if that makes sense. It's Little League hockey for kids. And you worry about kids when they're out there doing contact sports. So we discuss it. And of course, because it's TMOS, we have a little fun with it. Nothing disrespectful. Thank you very much. It's hockey right here on the best of the Mike O'Mara Show.
This is not political, but this is a current event subject that
okay.
I want to mention.
Right.
I'm watching Real Sports last night. And this message goes out to Gary Bettman, commissioner of the NHL. Get on board with concussion protocol, you dick. Okay.
Is he just turning a total blind eye to it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not okay.
And these guys, it doesn't matter what sport you play. These guys are suffering the same injuries. This is a sport my kid is playing, okay?
Right.
And I don't want Mrs. O'Mara to freak out and pull him out of hockey. And when you see some of the collisions that are on the ice in the NHL, and you can
there
stack
goes
them
Butters.
Up.
Yeah,
you can
comes
stack.
Yeah,
here comes Butters. Right hands by Kurt Brackenberry. You can stack these collisions up with any collision in the NFL, and they are equal to, if not worse, based on head-on-head collisions. And I have to say this: I have to walk the walk, and I have never said this, but if you need to remove fighting from the NHL.
What?
No,
you know,
oh, Mike.
That you do, you
is
do.
At the heart of the game.
It is
no,
the
it
game.
Is not the heart of the game. The heart of the game is scoring goals. But
no, the fighting is to come. Oh, that is. When people. That's why you have an enforcer. You taught me that.
I know, but the fact is that it's brain injury and it is a sport.
But they can build equipment.
Shut up. Don't do this. Don't, please. Okay. Please don't.
How about this?
I'm really being serious about this.
First off.
But they can build equipment.
Mike.
To let them absorb the blows to the head.
Yeah, well, I mean, do you not remember?
They're called helmets, right?
Do you remember at WJFK we had a helmet and we took turns putting it on and hitting each other on the head with a hockey stick?
It still affects your brain. They're all wearing helmets when they get hit.
I have the solution. Right?
Here it comes. Does this involve calling Carrie?
No.
Okay.
The hockey gloves, right?
Gloves.
The gloves.
Gloves.
Yeah. As soon as the enforcers are about to fight, they give them the cartoon ones.
Oh, like Bob Hope.
That you see at any charity event. And that's how they fight.
Hey, I want to tell you.
On skates.
Look who's here. It's Sugar Ray Leonard. Isn't he wild?
And the weight's on the cartoon-sized gloves. It's going to make it
even harder.
Hey,
Sam Rogers, you think you could bring me, Oscar, and Rob along for the sports talk station?
Sam Rogers.
You can't? Why? What? Oh, okay.
That's breaking news, Mike. Yeah, breaking news. A big shout out to listener Witten, whose wife was here yesterday visiting.
Oh, yes.
Saying hello.
Hi.
Yes. She said, "Where's Mike?" I said, "Mike lives in Florida right now."
It's right on. Yeah. It's down, down south.
Anyway, they've got to be aware of all contact sports that these young men are getting hurt and might be affected.
Why is the NHL?
Yeah, let me ask the serious question. How can
he
do it?
It's like what the NFL did first. It's how they played it first, and they're just behind the curve on this. And you know, they're in denial about it. But you look at the head collision.
Who was that candy ass from the Pens that stayed out forever for
Sidney Crosby?
Yeah, that guy. Remember when people
save some for dad now?
People were questioning why.
No relation to Bing, I don't think.
Oh, okay,
so,
just checking.
But no, I remember when Sidney Crosby made a big deal, and for almost a year he was out for a whole season.
Well, the thing about concussion protocol, and I learned this from watching a little of this documentary last night, is that the recovery process is almost as important as preventing these injuries if they're going to happen inevitably. Now, the fact is, there it is. I said it again. When you get a guy that has a head-on-head collision or shoulder-to-head or bangs his head against the boards, it's extremely important to take him out of the game and give him the proper amount of recovery time. That's the initial science.
And it has to be done right away, right?
It helps the situation. And I just don't want to see, based on our diversions that we like football and hockey, any of these sports, if we have the science and we have the knowledge that this is eventually going to make a 40-year-old man put a shotgun in his mouth and pull the trigger, I think we have to do everything we can as human beings. And in 2018, we got to get our humanity
back. Like the movie Concussion.
We really do. We're, this isn't Gladiator, man.
No. May I ask you a serious question? Because you are the one that has been,
and I am serious about this,
a hockey enthusiast your entire life. You understand the game. You understand the science of the game. But here's,
I probably got a concussion myself back in high school when I had my head down and I hit probably one of the biggest guys in the Connecticut Valley Conference. Guy, I remember his last name was Kennedy, and he was
entitled huge for
a high school student. He was using, I had my head down, and I went down, and you know how you lose your breath
sure.
if you fall and
yeah.
you hit your back?
Yeah.
I think it was maybe a concussion. I was out for a little bit, and then I woke up. And these guys, it happens multiple times during games.
You talk about, maybe if we eliminate fighting, that would be a step, and it would.
Well, that's just head blows. You're getting blows to the head when you fight, like
game,
boxing.
But isn't the game based on, just the fact that you're on skates and you're on ice, and you're fighting for the same little disc, you're gonna collide. You're going to
the compact disc.
They've done it in the NFL. They've done it with, what did you say?
The compact disc.
It's called a puck. As in puck you, Oscar.
No. You've done it. You've made every effort to do it. Guys still get concussions in the NFL. Guys will still get concussions in the NHL. You just you eliminate the chances of this happening as frequently as
minimize
it's like what
it.
Yeah. You minimize. You're trying to
look,
you're not going to do that if the commissioner of the NHL is denying that it ever happened.
Technology and science will get us there.
I hope
your modern, I think Jerry Maguire was on for some reason. I thought Tom Cruise had died for a day because every Tom Cruise movie was on AMC. For some reason, I was like, oh, my God.
It's because he's got a movie coming out.
Yeah, that's all it was, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. That's when you see people.
I forgot that Jerry Maguire glamorizes essentially that concussion protocol. Not the protocol, but the concussion. Because at the end of that movie, you have Cuba Gooding Jr. sitting there laying down, getting knocked out.
Right.
And then getting up and dancing.
Right.
Yeah.
And
going back into the game.
And going back and then getting a multi-million dollar contract.
Yeah.
At the end of that movie.
Yeah. Time moves fast.
Yeah.
And science and knowledge and all of these things change the way we look at our sports and everything else in life. And I really, really think that I was stunned that they, especially with the Big Daddy League, the NHL, the NFL, accepting the reality of this traumatic brain injury.
Yeah,
but
the
NHL is kind of going, we don't know,
Well, they're obviously using the same playbook because it took the NFL forever to do it. They made a major motion picture that I still feel that somehow the NFL quashed because we all saw it in a theater, but then it was gone.
No,
no one talked about
it. There's still an issue. They're still working on it. At least there's a protocol in the NFL If you watch modern day soccer, Premier League soccer, and I know this is, you know, not Los Estados Unidos, not Latin America and the rest of the world.
But I do love my soccer.
But if you watch soccer,
and then they also have head injuries.
They have some of the players now wear helmets.
Because
like soft helmets.
Because the heading of the soccer ball has been known to cause
the or the goal is bumping heads.
Yeah, but it's so simple when you think about this. And look, it's great that we have diversions. It's great that we love sports. But I caught myself. But you have to realize, that's another one, that I'm gonna have a nervous break.
No, you're doing great.
You got this.
With traumatic brain injury, we don't need it in these sports to enjoy it. I think that's the point I want. And if I'm saying that, a guy that for years and years said, I like old school, I hate the people that bitch about fighting in the NHL. If I can come around on that, you can come around on that as well. And I'd like to enjoy sports with the knowledge that these guys at the end of their career are not going to be in a situation where their neurons are so messed up that they end up doing damage to themselves or they just die in general. It's terrible.
And you take it one step further. You don't need that as the example being set for the youth of today, that's what they need to do.
This comes down to one word. This comes down to empathy. This is just empathizing with our fellow human beings and enjoying their athletic prowess and enjoying the fact you can still have a real tough hit out there.
Sure.
You can still check guys off the puck. You can do so much. And I know the sport, but when I've got a four-year-old who is starting out and playing this sport, I don't want to have him in a situation that if we can avoid injuries to his brain, there's not. And then, by the way, the NFL is doing this and Little League football is doing it. There are a lot of parents that aren't having their kids play. And by the way,
soccer now.
I don't know how the chips are going to fall with Mrs. O'Mara with this when she finds out about the fact that this particular sport can cause brain injury as well. So I just wanted to say that.
The mites aren't hitting themselves.
No, they're not hitting. Believe me.
I saw some.
Yeah. He's fine for a couple of years, Oscar.
I saw some pretty wicked hits and some bad injuries at the varsity high school football level. And
collisions.
I'm wondering if in 20 years, is there going to be high school football? Because
there's always going to be gladiators.
I don't know. I'm really curious.
And you have to look at these sports
because they're boys out there that they're killing.
But they all want to get laid. Guys and gladiators get laid.
Yeah, theater people got occasional sex
with themselves.
But was it good?
That involved collisions
with the set.
I'm colliding with my hand.
I think you have to. If you've got a major sports league that makes all their money on this particular sport, they have to take the lead on
financing
the technology that's going to prevent the little guys.
And the helmet companies are already getting there. They're evolving their helmets.
Is it true that the soccer helmets, the soccer helmets that they wear, that they look like real hair?
No, but they look like
a series of very delightful.
But they look like Mario Brother character helmets. If you ever look at them,
I know what you mean.
Like they look. The first time I saw it, is that guy okay? Is he riding the short bus? Like what's happening?
Can I ask you a technical question about this? Doesn't that somehow give a player an advantage for heading the ball?
Well, it's
like if there's a
mostly,
plastic helmet
mostly
on his head?
Goalies wear this type of helmet.
Okay,
because the goalies are going up and.
It's goalies.
Again,
they can use their hands. Only player on the field that can use their hands.
But when the headers come in or somebody's trying to head the ball and you're going up for the ball at the same time, collisions happen all the time.
With a winger and a goalie.
Yes.
So if the goalie's got the helmet and the winger doesn't, that's a little all these sports, I just want to see the major professional leagues get on board because they've got the money to put into the research
and
that can prevent these injuries at all levels of the sport. So
tennis, for example, right?
Yes.
Let the girls' skirts be shorter. Like Thank enough you. With I this agree. Nonsense.
And why do we need
golf,
skirts at
golf.
All?
Bring cleavage back into ladies' golf.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
And can Tiger Woods' pants get tighter? I need to see what he's working with, please.
There it is.
One, two, three, four. Would you like to hear a little more? Of course. The final segment today is so easy to introduce because it's just one sentence. Mike realizes he's pathetic. Nice. On the best of the Mike O'Mara Show.
I always suspected I was a little pathetic, but now I think I've confirmed
really?
That I am truly pathetic. I wasn't always pathetic.
No.
I always thought that there was a day where I thought I kind of, lived a life.
Yeah.
I thought that, I got around and did fun things and was active. It was, I got to be honest with you, it was more when I was up in the D.C. area and when I was a younger man.
Happening town, party town.
Okay, you're not old. You are not old.
I know I'm not old. Oscar, hear me out here because it doesn't have anything to do with age. This is just my life and what my life has become. You're right. I'm not old.
No.
But we're not talking about old. We're talking about pathetic.
Yeah. Now, Rob, when did you make the flip? When did you become
pathetic?
Really pathetic?
I think probably.
Like, we're talking about the way, and by the way, the subject is the way we live our lives.
Yes.
When did you, Rob's been married a lot longer than I have.
Even if you add them all up.
Yeah, that's true. Absolutely. Technically, I think if I add them all up, I might be.
No, because I'm closing in on 22 years.
Yeah.
Seven.
We don't count dating, Mike.
Yeah, you're right. He's right. He'll always be.
The Lord.
He will always beat me.
I'm not mad at you, spouse. I'm mad at the divorce.
So even Rob, has this life where he goes out and does the Tuscarora High School. And even though one might make a case for that being pathetic, it's not. It's
He's
lively.
Involved in his kids' lives.
It's being community involved.
Yes.
It's the type of thing, if Rob did that, if Rob wanted to ever run for Congress, they could say, well, he also did the announcing at the, so he helped out the school when he didn't need to.
For
my
inevitable congressional run, Mike.
Yes, exactly.
That and two blocked arteries.
That's right.
But I have to say this, as I digress once again, would you not feel that you're educating yourself by producing the Political Persuasion show?
I'm not producing it. Remember, Mike, I'm your Imagineer.
Your Imagineer. Yeah, he's the Imagineer.
That's my title for Political Persuasion.
So, as everybody knows, Mrs. O'Mara, he's an Imagineer. Mrs. O'Mara is making her way back. She went up to D.C. for a visit, and she's coming back. And the fact is that, there it is. The fact is, hit it again.
Yeah, hit the alarm.
That'll be later in the show. That'll be later in the show when I talk about the verbal crutches. Okay. Bastards.
Now, Mike.
Bastards!
If you want to know really where you think I became pathetic, I think it actually predates having children. I became pathetic when Carrie and I moved in to Big Daddy's house.
So, Mrs. O'Mara out of town. What did I do yesterday? What was my day yesterday?
Mike's day.
I got done doing the show.
Uh-huh.
I installed a new bicycle seat on my bike.
Woo!
Successfully, thanks to the help of Matt Ponyboy Bloom.
We saw some of the pre-production of that between the Mike O'Mara show and Political Persuasions, where you actually you fought it. He fought the seat.
I thought I had the old one around. No, Pony walked me through it, and it was stunningly efficient.
Do you have
Pony was just... Pony
said, don't clip the blue wire.
And Pony, I will have you know that I successfully took Muriel, the bicycle, out for
Muriel
a nice little run. I call all my vehicles Muriel.
That's
now.
Nice.
And then I got back home and I said, what to do? And I just wasted away all day long, like surfing the net. And then I decided that I would go to the grocery store and buy some steam in a bag peas and carrots.
Oh, so you don't even have to dirty a dish.
And have a veggie patty.
that's
what I had for dinner.
But that's your choice.
Yeah.
But I'm lying about that. I actually bought a little sirloin steak. I went
A vegan steak?
And then I went to bed at 9 o'clock at night.
Okay, that's...
So I'm pathetic.
No, you're on routine. That's all it is.
That's it.
Now, I went to bed at 9. I went to sleep at 11.
What did you do? Do I want to know how you filled the 2 hours?
No, because I didn't even do that.
Yankee.
And that might be less blue. If you're talking about that would be that. And then in between, I occupied my time reading social media, which is becoming more and more toxic to me personally, where I just can't stand it. It actually ruins my life when I read it.
What about getting out and going out and doing something?
Because that's over. Those days are over. The Mike can go to a bar, make a friend, and come in at 2 o'clock in the morning. Those days are behind me now. I'm here to say officially that if I have my bride as my wingman, I will go out and I can sneak a late night out. But if I am solo, by the way, 15, 20 years ago, that would have been that would have been my number one thing. I would have gotten over the show and gone to the local watering holes at Hyper.
Day drinking, yeah, sure.
Well, what are you doing? Yeah, what are you doing? So it's just pathetic. But that's
what about
now.
A bar where ladies like to dance?
No, not there anymore. Mm. Not there. Not going to do that. It. Because I, now listen, do
they have any around of those around your neighborhood that cater to the older demographic, like older ladies dancing?
Well,
because there are a lot of older people in your neighborhood.
Thank you, Rob. Thank you for my labeling my neighborhood like that. Not in my particular neighborhood.
Well, I'm sorry.
You don't go out the gates of Cocoonville.
Your district.
To Harry's
Grays.
To Harry's Hoochie
Grays.
Bar.
Yeah, it's the name, Mike. The name of the Grays. Club is Grays.
Cougars.
They have a
Saturday night at Cougars.
Yeah,
what a great night.
Handicap approved.
No, we've got over 30 handicap parking spaces at Grays.
I don't doubt I could probably with some guys have a good time at a place like that. But the fact is that, you know, walking in alone at and this is where
alone is the best.
But age appropriate,
you're
disgusting. I remember
creepy.
Good guys. I remember good guys when I was in college, and I would see the guys that were 70 years old that would walk into those joints, and it was disgusting.
Mike,
it was gross.
That's old money.
I know.
Old money right there.
Yeah, that's right. It was Mr. Rockefeller sitting at the bar with all right. of his robber baron oil money. Mr. Carnegie would like a blonde over at the right off the stage.
Please. And then, by the way, if you go to the right place, it's a classy place.
Then I read a troll last night on online that says, the fact is Mike has many verbal crutches.
Oh.
And I begin to, do you know? And I don't care if they know. I think it was a troll, went to the person's page.
Sure.
Didn't see a lot of information, which indicates a troll. But I will tell you this. I really, really do that. I don't care who knows it. That gets into my head. That gets into my head more than anything anyone could say to me.
Especially on days like today.
Days like today.
Yes, you're fragile today.
When lonely, I'm so lonely.
Mm-hmm.
What's your wife doing in Virginia?
She's coming back home now. She's coming back home. She was moving some stuff down here, and so she's coming back home. And I can't wait to see her, and I'll be glad when she gets back, because it used to be there was a day when solo Mike. Oh, and you know, it's compounded by what I talked about yesterday, the boys that are
and
all
that's
having
a four
their
day
weekend.
That's a 96 hour
that's
problem.
I was, but here's the thing, they're gonna die younger than I am because they're killing their livers right
I was explaining to Shane that you don't have any friends and why you wouldn't golf with Rob or I.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. And she was up here briefly, and Rob said, yeah, he said that he wouldn't play golf with us because we don't know how to play golf. And she goes, well, why do you have to know how to play golf to play? Just have fun with your friends.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, because Mike's a monster. And that's why he has no friends.
Well, no, you know, and that's who I would consult on the game of golf is your wife, Shannon, because she's such an incredible expert on that. No, the fact is, you know, I said the fact is, hit it again.
She's a regular Nancy Lopez.
I caught myself. There's that guy that's going to write the time code down when I caught it. Hit the alarm. I'm hitting it on myself. Come on, Rob.
We don't like beating you up, Mike. That's why it's
all right.
Don't you wish, though,
well,
you know,
speaking of beating
say you're
up,
pathetic.
So that,
you say there's you're pathetic, but don't you wish you had the time to dissect every syllable that someone else was saying?
Oh,
who's pathetic
also,
now?
So that was my evening. My pathetic evening with my sore ass based on the bicycle, going to the pathetic grocery store, sitting in my dark house.
You should
myself,
turn on lights, man.
Reading posts about my verbal crutches. Thank you very much. There we go.
What about
yes?
What about on demand?
Yeah, get a movie.
I watched Real Sports. That's what I watched. And then I was going to do your thing and buy The
Premium.
Shape of Water on pay-per-view, and I just couldn't make it.
Oh,
I got through, and when it says buy for $16.99, I said, no.
Like you splurge. You're
force-feed. Well, here's the way I look at that. You are force-feeding me this movie to buy when I want to rent this
Academy
movie.
Award winner.
If I wanted to
what if
buy
they said
the
rent
movie,
it,
I
rent it for $16.99. Is it the mental block that you're buying it?
I don't think I would have rented it for $16.99. They're telling you what they're trying. This is the movie industry compensating for Netflix and Hulu and all the other services, and they're trying to force feed you to purchase the film. And it's like you're saying it like it's I'm right about this. They're force feeding us to buy a movie ticket when we didn't want. We want to rent it.
Yeah.
That's why we didn't see it.
It is roughly the cost.
We don't want to buy it.
It's roughly the cost of two movie tickets.
I bought.
It's the same as going out to a movie with your date.
Exactly.
I bought Geostorm, right?
How was Geostorm?
For $23. 2 weeks before you could rent it.
You were pouring your cash into it.
Well, yeah. You should get a muffin basket from the Academy.
Where I live, in the city, it costs $20 just to go to the movies, if you're lucky.
But do you understand my point? When you buy these movies, this is the movie industry's new trick.
I get
to
the
get
business
you to
model.
Spend more money to put it to the...
I get it,
right?
But you know what, Mike? We work too hard not to earn just a preview, maybe 2 weeks early than the public. The general public.
Well, when I used to pay my dues, I used to get all those movies.
Oh, that's right.
A DVD. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they.
When
do
did
that
you
anymore.
Let that lapse?
Well, it was the age of DVD, so I was not getting them digitally. I wasn't getting little codes.
Yeah, download.
So that was probably 5 years ago. And by the way, all I have to do is make good thousands of dollars.
But your SAG situation is what stopped you from buying
the SAG. If my dues were current, and I have not made them current, then I would be getting these movies.
Did you know the SAG situation is another club down there that has older dancers?
Yeah, that's it. Thank you, Rob.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara Radio Entertainment.